Galatians chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse number 10. Let's stand and reverence the Word of God. You've been sitting for a while. Let's stand just for a moment. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us. Hallelujah. From the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed or cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You can be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for the goodness of God, and thank you, Lord, for your grace. God, I pray that you'd clothe us now for the next little while in our calling. God, make the message a blessing in the hearts of the hearers today. And Lord, I pray if there's one here today that really doesn't know the true meaning of Christmas, that Lord, before they leave here, they will. Lord, I pray that you'll help those that are in the play. Lord, so much work, so much labor. And Lord, I pray you'll help them with their lines. And Lord, that everything would just go according to plan. Lord, we love you. We look forward to the day, Lord, when we'll see you face to face. I believe first we'll fall at your feet. Lord, I love to hug people's necks. I can't wait to hug yours, Lord. And thank you, Lord, maybe the way you were to be thanked for what you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been preaching on Christmas in the month of December, and we've done an acrostic of Christmas. C was for Christ. H was for hope. R was for redemption. I couldn't get settled, so I went with all of them. Redemption, righteousness, and riches. I was for Emmanuel. C-H-R-I-S, Wednesday night. I ran out of time. I was writing over there. S was for the Son. Amen. Unto us a child is born, but unto us the Son was given. And today we come to the letter T in Christmas. And I didn't have a hard time getting settled on this at all. T is going to be for the tree. The Word of God said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We know that in our homes, in our home, we have a beautiful Christmas tree. Like the song when Brother Ralph was singing a while ago, it has ornaments on it, it has lights on it. My wife goes to great pains to decorate it. It is artificial. We like that, amen. The way trees are nowadays, the expense, you only have to use an artificial tree 2 or 3 years to save money, amen. And we use them till they're wore slap out, amen. But it's pretty. She's done a great job decorating it. But there's a tree that made a difference in my life. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. I believe, as a matter of fact, I believe on Calvary's crest, on Mount Calvary, that tree that Jesus hung on was probably one of the most gruesome sights this world has ever known. And yet because of He, the Son of God, that hung on that tree, I have the gift of God that comes from that tree, eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to give you several things today as the Lord has spoke to my heart, and pray that it'll be a blessing. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15. And I want to give you several things and pray that it'll be a blessing and that God will speak to our hearts today. Wouldn't it be a shame? Those of us that know Christ as our Savior, wouldn't it be a shame to be so out of the frame this week that we miss Christmas? Now, I'm telling you, I said to someone yesterday in a text, I think it was Sister Kim, that Sawyer and Olivia, Bob and Charity, they're coming in, and they're actually going to have their family Christmas at our house, going to stay with us 3 or 4 days. And if I told you I wasn't excited, I'd be a liar, amen. I'm excited. Just to sit over in the corner somewhere and watch those babies, amen, and watch that family. And just excited to have all of my family in. Next Sunday afternoon, we do our Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve. Miss Eve has a sister named Monica. And when they were little, everybody kept talking about Christmas Eve. And Monica said to her mom and dad one day, "When is it going to be Christmas, Monica?" Amen. But anyway, they thought that you made that the 23rd, didn't they, honey? Okay, yeah, they set aside an extra day there, amen. Yeah. But I tell you, God set aside a day in history that His Son would hang on an old rugged cross. There is no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can't pick door number 1 or door number 2 or door number 3. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll go in and out and find pasture." In Exodus chapter number 15 and verse number 23, I want to read here and talk about for just a moment the picture in that tree. There's a picture here in the Old Testament in typology of that tree that we call the cross. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. How many remembers running around in the world and you found no water? I tell you, the world, it might be fun for a little while, but there's no satisfaction in the world. He said here, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And Moses, being the man of God that he was, he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. How many's glad the Lord showed you a tree? Not the beautiful shaped pine tree. Not the beautifully decorated Christmas tree. And I'm not against that. We have one. But I'm so glad the Lord showed me another tree. The tree on which the Son of God would give His life. The Bible said here, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. What I wanted to say about the picture in that tree, there's only one tree that can take the bitter waters of this life and turn them sweet, and that's a tree that was there on Mount Calvary, the cross of the Lord Jesus. I thank God today that the songwriter wrote a song, "'Tis So Sweet." That's a good word, isn't it? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm glad, beloved, I have a weak spot for... You say, "Where's your weak spot?" I guess it's right here. Everything I eat's low fat, if you know what I mean. It settles right above my belt. But anyway, I have a weak spot for sweets. But I tell you, it was sweet that night when a sinner recognized his need of that tree. And when God put that tree in my life, the bitterness went away. And God sweetened my life with the Holy Spirit of the living God and the knowledge that I would no longer have to worry when I laid down at night, because now if I left this world, heaven would be my home. There's a picture here in the Old Testament of that tree. The purpose of that tree. In all of my days, I never thought about this till last night. I was praying and studying. And God put this in my heart. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible said, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." This is in the creation. "The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." You say, "Pastor, what's the purpose of Calvary? What's the purpose of that tree that Jesus hung on?" Well, you remember Genesis chapter 3, he said, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now he must put, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." And then in verse 24 said, "So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Do you know what God did when his son hung on Calvary's cross? He made us a way back to the tree of life so we could live forever. Ain't that good? We were kept from it because God, in his infinite plan, I'll talk about it a little bit later, he wanted everyone to be able to come back. But there was only going to be one way, going to have to come through the cross. I remember years ago, I heard a man say something, and all it just about pulled me up to the edge of my pew when he first said it, because I didn't listen to all of it. He said, "There are many roads that lead around the cross." And Brother Junior, I was ready to go. You know what I mean? What in the world is he talking about? He paused. He said, "But remember, none of them lead to heaven." He said, "If you go to heaven, you'll have to go by way of the cross." I believe he's right. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many go in therein, but narrow is the way. Not that it's hard, beloved, but that it's narrow. It goes through Calvary. It goes through the cross. Brother Ralph, God's first Christmas tree. We see the picture in that tree, the purpose of that tree. He made us a way to get back to the tree of life. But I believe the next thing God would want to call to our attention is the person on that tree. I tell you, what a Savior we have today. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." But beloved, there's going to be no salvation apart from Calvary. There was going to be no salvation apart from that precious blood that was going to be shed. Some use the word spilled in different songs and things, and I understand what they're talking about, but I believe the word shed, that means it was on purpose. It was not an accident that God would shed his blood for you and for me. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." He said, "To this end was I born." A lot of people are going to go through the Christmas season, and they're going to even maybe think about the baby Jesus in the manger. But the Lord is telling us in this scripture, this is the very reason that I was born, to go to that tree and give my life for the sin of the world. He said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And then, not only do we see a picture and the purpose of that tree and the person that's on that tree, but there was a payment that was made on that tree. Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Listen. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." I believe that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Beloved, there was a payment that was being made that day on that tree. An old man, a preacher man by the name of Malin Wyatt. Brother Jason, you talk about I've never heard of anybody doing it since. He'd go out in the country, brother. And you know what a boom box is, Brother Jason? You may not even know what they are, amen. You're a young man. But he'd carry him a boom box. He didn't have a choir to go with him. He didn't have any special singers, Brother Ralph. But he had cassette tapes. And he'd say, "Let's listen to a song." He said, "Boy, wasn't that good?" He'd sit there at the kitchen table and play some tapes of music, just like he was having church, and then present the gospel to people. Amen. You say, "Pastor, why did you mention Brother Malin?" Because he gave me a plaque that said this, and I never shall forget it. It was the first time I ever read these words. The plaque said, "Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, because I had a debt I could not pay." I say, hallelujah. There was a payment made on that old rugged cross. There's a pardon on that tree. I want you to listen to this. I'll talk just a little bit about the pardon in a moment. But I want you to listen to this. John Newton wrote this. And of course, I believe, am I right? He was the author of Amazing Grace. Is that right? John Newton, was he the... Does anybody know for sure? You're pretty sure, Brother Chris? Okay, thank you, brother. The rest of them had a question mark on their face. Amen. Amen. John Newton, he wrote the song Amazing Grace, which happens to be my favorite. And the girls a while ago played my favorite Christmas song, "O Holy Night." Hallelujah for that night. And then here it goes. He said, "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilled and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I, the Lord, have slain." A second look he gave, which said, "I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live." Thus while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of his grace. It seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now is filled, that I should such a life destroy, yet live by him I've killed. Thank God for his pardon. There's a thief in heaven today that thanks God for his pardon. He looked over at Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what Jesus did? He said, today, thou shalt be with Mary, me in paradise. I left out a word there, a very important word. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was acknowledging that the crowd was wrong and the Christ was right. That he was Lord of all and Lord indeed. Amen. And so he experienced that wonderful pardon. And then there was the plan of God on that tree. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? What I mean is this. When Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, God didn't say, oops, what do we do now? He didn't make them do anything, but he gave them the choice. But he also, being an all-knowing, all-wise God, knew the choice that they would make. And so the plan of God on that tree is seen in the words, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God had a plan all along. He had a plan. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And I'm glad I have a Bible that tells me that God's not planned for anyone to leave this world without Christ. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In case we didn't get it in that verse, Paul is writing to young Timothy the preacher. He's talking about the Lord. He said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I appreciate the fact that God had a plan. I want to give you this in closing today. There's a person that deserved to die on that tree. That person is me. That person is you. We are the ones. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're the ones that deserved to hang on that tree. Brother Dale, God let me have two wonderful fathers, a heavenly father and an earthly father. Both of them wonderful fathers. My earthly father, when someone would say to him, John, how you doing? Without fail, my dad would say this, Brother Michael, better than I deserve. My dad never lived a day, Brother Rick, without realizing if he had what he deserved, it would have been him hanging on that tree. It would have been him in hell. And because of God's grace, that he could then and that he can now say, he's in glory now, better than I deserve. The Bible said, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Word of God said, but God commendeth. That word commendeth simply means demonstrated. Somebody said this, I saw it I think in a little picture. It said, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms and died. I used to, and still do, have a good time with the grandkids. How much do you love Papaw? This much. When they go to pulling their shoulders out of the socket, they're wanting something. Amen. But he loves you this morning. This much. Scripture said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. That's the greatest love that I can think of. Yet the Bible said, scarcely for a righteous man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners. Some people got the idea of God's waiting on them to do better, quit this or start this. I remember on the plane somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio talking to a lady by the name of Jessica. I didn't know it, but she had an aunt in Texas been praying for years. I said to her, I said, Jessica, did you ever stop and think if you'd start doing some of the things you know you ought to be doing? You know, like reading your Bible and praying, going to church, and stop doing some of the things that you know you're doing that's wrong. I said, did you ever stop and think how much God would love you? She hung her head. I'll never forget it. She said, yeah. I said, look at me, Jessica. She looked at me and I told her this. I said, God will never love you one ounce more than He does right now. You're here this morning, I can tell you, He loves you. He loves you. I'm glad these little youngins up here on the stage, and some of them ain't even up here yet. Brother John leaned over and whispered to me a while ago. I think it was the primaries that were up here. He said the next time they cross the stage, they'll be graduating. You know what he's trying to say? Sister Tanita, it won't be long. That little baby that's running around your knees will be as tall as you are. Prettier than you are, probably. Michael said, no way. Amen. Smart man. There's some Christmas sugar coming out of that one. Amen. They grow up, don't they? And the older we get, Brother David, the quicker it seems to go. But the main thing, not just growing up, but when they leave out with Jesus. The Bible said to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Do you know for sure if you left this world today, heaven would be your home? You know, it would be wonderful if on this day, whether it's this morning or through the ministry of the play, if someone discovered the true meaning of Christmas, discovered the real joy that only Jesus can give down in our hearts and down in our lives. I read something the other day, and I didn't know whether the Lord would have me share it or not. How many is aware that Christmas has become very, very materialistic? How many is aware of that? I mean, it's unbelievable. I'll never forget when Brother Keith was here. He said, I love Thanksgiving because it's a pure holiday. You may have said that too, Brother Jason, but it's not yet been choked to death by the world. And I've also seen some of the stores back up now and start closing on Thanksgiving. And that's a blessing. Amen. Give folks one day with their family a year. It won't hurt a thing. But the meaning of Christmas, a television interviewer was walking the streets of Tokyo at Christmas time. Much as in America, Christmas shopping is a big commercial success in Japan. The interviewer stopped one young woman on the sidewalk and asked, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" Laughing, she responded, "I don't know. Is that the day that Jesus died?" Then here's what he said. There was some truth in that answer. He's a babe, but he's going to grow up, and he knows it. He knew it when he left the right hand of the Father. For this cause came I into the world. He loves you this morning. Let's bow for prayer.